Attention parents, what you're about to see is not suitable for kids. Shoot, it's not even suitable for some grown-ups. You might want to walk away now if you ain't into these type of things.
Hola, creepos! Welcome to another edition of your favorite true crime podcast, the show about creeps, by creeps, for you creeps. My name is Vinny, I'm your host, and joining me, as always, it's my pal, Hot Carla.
What's happening, Vinny Paulino? Good to see you, buddy.
Pal, it's a pleasure to see you. I'm excited to have another episode of The Creep Off today. We're coming off of a holiday here in the States. And all to Christians all over the world, good old Easter.
That's correct.
So we figured today we are going to bring our biggest Easter creeps for you. But before we get into that.
Well, I wanted to do biggest Passover creep. But then when I mentioned Jewish people, Vinny said all of them. And I went, okay, maybe that's not the right.
That did not happen. That wasn't what happened.
Right, you started going off on the anti-Semitic rant. I'm like, you know what? You know, let's just do Easter again. That's fine.
That didn't happen.
Let's just do it. Why? See, this is why we should.
I wanted to stay on YouTube. Carl wanted to talk about all the stuff he talks about at the meeting with the boys. Okay. And now he's trying to blame it on me.
All right.
Nice try, hamburger.
All right. The first thing we always do is we talk about the results from the previous week because we both bring our favorite creep in a category. You all vote on our subreddit and then we keep score.
Yeah. Going into this week, it was. You had the lead. It was 3-2.
Yes.
And here to tell us the results from last week is our results girl.
Ah, I like that name. Much better than a review girl. No offense to the review girls. No offense.
You've been promoted because you're at the front of the show and you're no longer the review girl. That's impressive.
I like it. All right.
Congratulations on the promotion. Pays the same.
Thank you. Pays. Right. I figured.
More of a lateral move, but feel good about it.
Yep.
I feel good. But, the winner from last week, who brought the creepiest Ohioan, is Vinny, 102 to Carl, 63.
Please.
Let's see that. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you. Carl's boos right now are music to my ears. I thank you for your support. I really, truly do. I know that my creep was worse. He was basically just victimizing families for decades in Ohio.
All right. You won the fucking round. That's enough.
It was an obvious
choice. We're going to see how to continue to go through why you brought the bigger creep.
We're tied, baby. 3-3.
All right. We're tied up. I don't like that.
Carl, at the end of the show today, don't let me forget.
Oh, yes. Oh, I totally forgot about that. We got another letter from Podcast Hitman.
That's right.
No.
Oh, sweet.
You know, yay.
Freaking Podcast Hitman at it again. And Carl, I'm telling you something right now. The last time you took the letter and it disappeared, I never got to see it again.
Yeah.
I'm keeping one page out of this.
All right. I hope it's not about my wife.
And I am framing it. It is going on the wall behind me.
Okay.
It's a doozy.
Interesting.
It's probably 4 pages, Jess.
Oh.
Four pages of cringe. And I promise you, folks, it's going to be worth it when we get to it.
Great.
Oh, because boy.
He has lots of really interesting ideas on things he could do.
Hey, if you're new to the show or new to our universe here, Podcast Hitman was a fan of Who Are These Podcasts as well as The Creep Off. And what he did was he murdered his girlfriend and then lived with her dead body for 7 or 8 months until the smell got so bad that they discovered the body in the basement.
Well, after he went running around like a lunatic in his neighborhood in his underwear.
Yeah, he kind of broke with reality.
They had a mental health arrest and his family went to the house to go get clothes for him because he was going straight to the nut hut. And the sister walked into the house and was like, oh my God, it's almost way worse than I thought it would because he's also like 2.5 of me.
Well, and the neighbors were like, when they would go home, because it was like an apartment complex, they would sprint into their places because it smelled so bad outside.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So he was going to get caught one way or the other. He did not have a good strategy.
Nope. Busted.
They don't call him podcast hitman with a plan.
No, they certainly do not. They certainly do not. So, Jess, thank you so much for joining us. As always, Jess is brought is here because of the great folks at Hack the Movies. And Jess, what else are you doing these days? Anything good?
That's about it.
All right.
Well, other than retroware. So, but it sounds like it's bad. I got a hoodie. Yay.
Nice.
All right.
Check out our video game, Toxic Crusaders, coming out later this year.
Who wears their own merch?
I do.
Hey, Carl, if that freezes on you, just go like this in front of the camera.
Oh, is that, why that's happening?
Yeah, very weird.
That
Sorry.
Is very weird. I'll just be animated. I'll be like...
Cardiff.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's dance around like Cardiff does.
Yeah. I might like you as a co-host for a change.
He was on Opie again this morning, plugging the hell out of subreddit surfing.
Oh, good.
Still trying to get Opie to come on your show.
He's going to, I think.
That would be so funny.
I would make the show. It would be funny. Subreddit surfing with Cardiff, Vinny, and Opie.
Yep. Oh, you think he's going to be permanent on the show?
Oh, yeah. Okay, he's going to love it so much.
Yep. Okay.
That's what I'm going to That's what Cardiff's going to remove me. Welcome to Subreddit Surfing with Cardiff and Opie.
I can't wait to have Anthony on WATP to review Subreddit Surfing once that happens.
Can I come on too? It'll be really fun.
No.
Why not? Would it just be weird if I'm there too? All right. Folks, we got a competition to get to. Jess, we will see you again next week. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Adios.
Bye, Jess.
Bounced.
All right.
Now down to business.
So this week, because it is Easter, we're bringing the Easter creep.
Yep.
And Vinny, you won, which means you're going to go first to present who you think is the biggest Easter creep.
Can you do me a favor and ring that bell? I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, my creep has some amazing nicknames.
Okay.
Because he came from the time when nicknames were really prevalent. Not like Top Mom and all that bullshit Nancy Grace pulls. His nicknames were...
Wait, did he run against Trump for president? Because that's the best way to get a nickname these days.
They called him a dumb hairline and fucking... I don't know. His name, he was the Mad Sculptor. The Easter Maniac was a good one.
Uh-huh.
His friends called him Bob, though. His real name was Robert George Irwin, and he looked like every single comedian ever trying to do an impression of Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
And I'm going to show you a picture of him right now. Every comedian ever turning around trying to do Jack Nicholson. Hey, everybody, it's me, Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, he does. I see it. So what year is this from? What are we looking
1930,
at?
1930. This is from the early 30s, this picture. Okay. Now, he's an interesting
So he probably
cat.
Wasn't doing a Jack Nicholson impression now that I think about it.
No, but I'm just saying he really kind
Jack
of looks
Nicholson's
like
Jack Nicholson's doing an impression of him, apparently.
I mean, dude, he looks nuttier than Scrooge McDuck. Look at that fucking face.
Yep.
That's a...
Nuttier than Scrooge McDuck?
I don't know.
What? I tried to make sense of that for a second.
You're a sandbagging son of a bitch today, Carl.
Sorry, buddy. Sorry. Keep going.
My creep today requires a sticker. Mine's back to a time in 1937, a very, very different time from today, a time where men were men and women, you know, nobody gave a shit. He was born in a church revival tent to evangelical lunatics who raised him going town to town, spreading the gospel.
Okay.
His father was Reverend Benjamin Hardwin Irwin, a nationally known figure in the holiness movement. Fun fact about him. At one point during a national convention, he denounced as sinful everything from Coca-Cola to wearing ties. So as you can imagine, it was a strict upbringing.
It's ahead of his time.
Yeah. Ties are evil, according to this guy's dad.
Ties are annoying.
Yeah.
I'm with him.
And then he was disgraced in a sex scandal and ran off when Robert was a kid. So Robert George was an incredible artist, Carl. He was in trouble all the fucking time. As a kid, he was constantly going in and out of juvie. They were going to send him to juvie forever, but he decided to go take a trade instead. And he ended up taking art classes in sculpture. And this does play into our crime. So I'm not just giving you a history lesson here.
Okay.
This guy was an incredible sculptor. Check out this bust that he made of Herbert Hoover. He made that when he was like 16.
That's very impressive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
I'm telling you, like, very talented kid. National attention. He did a couple other busts too.
So wait, that he didn't just get a 3D printer to make that?
Nope, he did that himself.
That's what I would have done.
Yeah, well, you didn't say he was smart, Carl.
Yeah, obviously.
Now, in fact, Herbert Hoover personally commended him on the bust. He loved it. They displayed it at the White House.
Oh, okay.
Now, he also did some really other interesting busts of people he admired, like Attila the Hun, Napoleon, Benito Mussolini, and Thomas Edison.
interesting combination.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
I thought that would just tell you a little bit about this guy's mindset. Now, he also,
at that time though, Mussolini wasn't considered, he hadn't teamed up with Hitler yet, right?
So he might 30s, we're getting there.
Yeah, all right. I'm just saying, there was a time when Hitler was Man of the Year, Time Magazine Man of the Year, you know?
Sure.
The before times.
Yeah, the before times, Carl. Yeah.
The before times. When our us German people were looked at pretty fondly.
Make Earth great again! No. Fucking psycho. Okay. Irwin was considered to be a brilliant prodigy, but he was also violent and completely crazy. He tried to cut off his own penis with a razor at one point.
Tried to? That seems like it'd be pretty easy.
He didn't do a good job.
Okay.
They put him in a state mental hospital where he stayed for about a year. After he gets out of college, he goes to New York City and he begins rooming at a house owned by a woman named Mary Gideon. There he becomes infatuated with her daughter, Ethel. The unsexy name Ethel. Really into her. She was not into him, Carl.
No.
He underwent further mental illness treatment for 2 more years. He gets locked up. He's away from these people. He gets released in the summer of 1936. Ethel's married to another guy. He's in the Nut Hut making sculptures of women that all had snake heads with big fangs.
Okay. So he's angry.
He's not in a great mood. He's not in good headspace. Yep. When he gets out of the Nut Hut, Carl, what do you think the first thing he decides to do is, though?
I don't know. Probably go back with his old girlfriend.
No. He decides he wants to get back into the family business. So he fucking enrolls in theological school.
Okay.
Like a seminary.
Cool. That's fun.
Not really. He was there for 10 days.
I'd be like, can you please lock me back up again? This sucks.
Well, he wasn't there for 10 days. I'm sorry. He was expelled very quickly and by March of 1937. So within a year, his first year there, they threw him out.
Okay.
While he was there, fun fact, Carl.
Oh boy.
He became friends with Kirk Douglas.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And Kirk Douglas apparently used him as his portrayal for Vincent Van Gogh in the movie Lust for Life, in case anybody cares.
I can understand the parallels. Yeah. An ear, a penis. Yeah. Makes sense.
Oh yeah. He loved cutting things off.
Yep.
We're getting there. So he gets expelled 10 days before Easter.
Okay.
And they said it was because of his, quote, instability. Mm-hmm. Maybe his violent moods, his crazy rantings and ravings, his snake people women that he made little figurines of. So he goes back to New York City. He rents a house 2 blocks away from Mary Gideon's old house. And he decided he was going to go drown himself in the East River.
Good.
Right.
End of story.
Nope, my Carl. Turn. So he's standing there and he decides, you know what? I'm not going to kill myself. I got a much better idea. What if I chop off Ethel's head, right?
Okay. I'm listening.
If I chop off Ethel's head, mm-hmm. I could sculpt a really cool death mask for that.
That's a good idea.
He decided to occupy his mind with an art project. So he's like, I'm 1 block away. So he goes to the house. Now, what I'm going to read to you now, folks, are excerpts from a news article. His full confession as to what happened on the evening before Easter. I went to the house. I was greeted by Mary Gideon. She remembered me and invited me in. I came in and started sketching a picture of her to kill as much time as possible. In comes this little Englishman. She introduced me to him. He went to his room. I said, well, I'm going to stay here until I see Ethel. And she goes, you can't see Ethel. Ethel's married to another guy. She doesn't live here anymore. Wrong thing to say. Mm. Bing, bang, bow. I hit her. I choked her. All the time, this damn Englishman just sat in the other room. Nothing happened. This guy doesn't come in to help her.
Vinny.
And he's very, what?
I have a saying.
Yeah.
Don't kill the messenger.
Don't kill the messenger.
Don't kill the messenger.
Honest to God, might be the name of this episode. 10 feet away. This is his words. She put up a hell of a fight. My hands were full of blood. I smeared it on her face and on her breasts. I threw her in the bedroom under the bed. Now, it's around this time, a little bit after, this Englishman does not move, does not stir. He doesn't hear anything. He's in the house by himself. Mary Gideon had another daughter named Ronnie. And Ronnie's a problem, Carl.
Okay.
Ronnie is a big problem. Ronnie has a criminal record because she was arrested at a society show where she was a model. If you get what I'm saying. Hooker. She's hooking.
Okay.
High-end hooking. November 8th, 1935, she posed for crime-oriented periodicals.
No one's ever called a hooker a model before.
They did back then.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah. She was on the cover of such as magazines called Inside Detective, Headquarters Detective, and she was in all sorts of like lingerie magazines. She was in a thing called, they labeled her Party Girl, Pretty But Cheap, I Am a White Slave, pictures of her all tied up in bondage and shit. This is the daughter. She's 20.
Okay.
She comes home, has no idea her mom is dead, thrown under the bed. The English guy's in the other room, not doing a fucking thing. He waits for her in the bathroom. And he, while he's in there, he's just fucking trying to figure out what to do. And he starts playing with the soap. And this is what he says. Finally, Ronnie came in. She went into the bathroom. I thought she was never coming out. I was in the shower. I made sort of a blackjack out of a piece of soap and cloth. I hit her, but the soap just splattered. I grabbed her from behind. I could very well believe that she was drunk because she didn't put up a fight. I took her to her room, held her tight just enough so she could breathe. She asked me not to rape her. Please don't. I've just had an operation. So I strangled her. And then when he was dead, he described looking at her and having all these loving feelings.
All right, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Was he going to rape her? Was that the plan?
I think he was going to rape her, and she didn't want to be raped, so he just strangled her and thought about all the loving feelings and how beautiful she looked dead.
Okay.
An artist, Carl. Yeah, a real fucking artist. And so now, this is his words. My brain was working so fast, I could almost hear it. The Englishman. I must kill him too. I stood for a moment over his bed, asleep, but how could I be sure? I lifted an ice pick.
This guy's sleeping through all of this?
Turns out the guy was fucking deaf.
Okay. Oh, okay.
The dude was fucking deaf. Okay. The English dude, he had no idea anything was happening.
Good for him, man.
Well, not good for him.
That's the way to go.
Because he got stabbed like 15 times by an ice pick to death.
Wait, what? That's not good.
Yeah. So this is what he says. This is the part that's chilling to me, which makes this guy extra creepy. Not only did he, you know, is he crazy enough? He's trying to chop off his own dick. Not only is he crazy enough, he's making insane sculptures of women with snake heads and thinking about decapitating his ex. He says, I went back to my boarding house a short distance around the corner to my room. I went in, dropped on my bed, and it was not until evening that I awakened by the cries of the newsboys below my window. They were yelling about a triple murder. It didn't frighten me. I was as calm as I've ever been. I was sure that I would not have been suspected. I was so sure of this that I did not even take the trouble to move from the neighborhood. I stayed there for a week.
I love that he could take a nap after that. Like, after I kill three people, I'm a little bit wired, you know? I'm pretty excited about that.
So the problem is the mom, Mary, was supposed to host Easter for everybody the next day. So when they showed up, for some reason, Mary and Ronnie both were naked. And he didn't put that in his confession, but they were naked when they found him.
Okay.
The guy was stabbed to death. The British guy stabbed to death in the other room.
Yeah, he left his clothes on, I assume.
Now, here's how they figured out it was him.
Okay.
Two things. Ronnie kept a journal, and Ronnie kept a black book. She was talking about how some guy named Robert was a sculptor in one of those books. Mentioning him, and in the bathroom as he was waiting for her for what he felt like was an hour, he actually made a sculpture out of the soap and left it there.
Oh, that was dumb. That's a calling card right there.
Yeah.
Whoops.
pretty stupid.
I mean, it lets you do a sloppy job.
I hope it was a little Easter bunny. It was just a little Easter bunny for her. Either way,
it was an Easter egg.
This whole thing became a super big case because of the fact that Ronnie was like this sordid history. She's the call girl who died. So now everybody's thinking that it was like some pimp or something crazy. She was on the cover of these magazines and everything.
You have a photo of her?
I do not. I'm sorry.
See what she looks like.
The manhunt covered 8 states.
Show me Herbert Hoover. Meanwhile, there's this hot 20-year-old girl in the story. I don't see any of that.
I dropped the ball hard, didn't I?
I'll make up for it later.
Okay, I know you won't. I saw what you gave me. Actually, it did look pretty tasty. Okay. He gets busted because someone recognizes him in a hotel in Cleveland where he's working as a bellboy. He's been on the run and he's just left town and he's just living his life.
Okay.
Using a different name. Apparently, when they realize it was him, they start all these magazines that posted the pictures of her, all these detective stories, all were like, our cover girl was murdered. We believe it was this man. And so pictures of the lunatic start getting spread in all these magazines and someone recognizes him from a fucking pulp detective magazine in Cleveland. He gets out of Cleveland, heads to Chicago. The ballsiest thing I've ever heard a creep do on this show, Carl. This fucking guy, Robert George Irwin, calls the police and says, hey, listen, you're looking for me. How about you pay me $5,000 and I'll come talk to you?
And they were like, or just really stupid.
The cops were like, we're not paying you. You need to turn yourself in. Where are you? He's like, nah, I'm not turning myself in. Fucking hard pass. Bye. Next phone call he makes to Hearst Publications. Hi, my name is Robert George Irwin.
That makes more sense.
Everybody's looking for me right now. How about you pay me and I'll give you my story. So the Hearst people scoop him up, taking him to the offices. He gives this full confession to the whole thing. This thing is extra in the papers before the cops can even have a chance to question him or interrogate him, put him under arrest or anything. His entire confession is published.
Okay.
That's fucking insane.
Makes the police look kind of bad, I would say.
Everybody was pissed.
Yeah.
Everybody was pissed. The cops went and tossed their offices looking for him. They fucking took the guy to a hotel, set him up, wined him and dined him, gave him whatever he wanted. They played cards all night. The next day when they turned him into the cops, he was wearing a nice suit and he was there with a very expensive lawyer that the folks at Hearst set up for him.
Okay, that was nice of them.
Well, for the story, he murdered three people.
Also, I think they're supposed to report the news, not be the news.
Dude, he was on fucking Front Street too.
Yeah.
I murdered these three people. How about you buy me a hotel and give me money?
Mm-hmm. That's one way to do it.
Jesus Christ. So because the lawyer was so good, he ends up getting he gets sentenced, but they end up making it, you know, flipping it and that he was insane. But this is what I love about 1937, ladies and gentlemen. Judge James Wallace sentenced him to 139 years to life in prison. 99 years for the life of slaying the deaf English guy, 20 years for slaying Mary, and 20 years for slaying Veronica.
That makes sense.
100 years for killing the guy and 40 years for killing two women.
Yeah.
That's not even 3/5. That's fucked.
I'm fine with that.
This I think math it makes is sense. Terrible.
I mean, the guy was deaf, though, so maybe it shouldn't have been that out of whack.
Either way, when he goes to prison, the doctors ruled him, quote, very definitely insane. He died in prison in 1975. And let me show you another fun picture of this guy. This is him when they got him the next day.
Aww.
At the hotel, taking pictures with the Hearst people. They cuffed him, and he's smiling. He's like, bye, guys. I'll see you later. It was a fun night playing cards.
Yeah. All right, so he's a crazy person. We get it.
No, he's a creep. They described him as being sociopathically smart, and the fact that he was able to, like, he figured out, I murdered three people. How do I get myself paid in the best sentence I could possibly get? It didn't end up being the best sentence, but he ended up spending his life in a nut hut instead of the, you know, prison.
Sure.
He's fucking a piece of shit.
That can be fun living in a nut hut. Like sometimes they escape and go to baseball games and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just saw one movie.
Well, that's my story today. That is George or Robert George Irwin, ladies and all gentlemen. Right.
Turbo Neil Breen. I can't wait for the Jake Hudson episode of the Creep Off.
Never going to happen.
Very funny. Well, I mean, I think I know where he's going to get.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
The Hall of Fame episode.
He'll be the subject. Yeah, right. I think is what he's trying to say.
Yeah. We had a couple of super chats today.
We do have a super chat from my sister-in-law. Oh, some of
we got a couple.
Top too. Yeah, what do we
right
got
at the start at 10:37 a.m. from Chris Primer.
Hey, thanks, Chris Primer.
When you're in
go
Philly,
ahead and put it on the screen.
When you're in Philly, I've got to tell you about a real creep from the area. We may actually hear about him in the Scum Parade. The Man is Spiraling.
Oh, awesome.
Can't wait.
Looking forward.
Dixon Mars. I hope I get a feature on here when I spiral. I hope.
Oh, yeah, well, for sure, buddy.
100%. If you're a listener, you're going
to us from jail. We will read whatever you send us from prison. We promise.
Absolutely. Even if you just get like a DUI or something, send a postcard. Christina Marie says, Podcast Hitman used to go live on YouTube and exercise. We used to chat on his lives. That might be how some of us got to know him.
Yes, that's true. He was working out right next to the dead body in his basement on YouTube.
Don't forget to breathe.
Never really did see those results, unfortunately. I don't think he lost a lot of the weight.
Oh, I hear he's just a disaster in jail. He's got a big old wound on his leg. Just gross.
It's a problem.
Dude, you didn't send him money, did you?
No, not yet. We need to, though. We need to raise money for podcast. Well, let's read the letter today, and then we'll decide.
Yeah, then we'll decide.
Then we'll decide what to do.
I think we'll be okay.
All right. I'm going to go now.
Please.
Since you went so long, I'm going to go short. I brought a much bigger creep than any creep you could imagine, and I have a quick news story about it. This creep did his bastardly deed, on April 15th, 2017, and we're heading over to Syria.
68 children are thought to be among the 126 people killed in a bomb attack on Saturday that hit a convoy of buses carrying evacuees from Syrian towns. Now, according to the monitoring group Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, the parked buses were hit by a booby-trapped pickup filled with explosives on the western outskirts of Aleppo. 13 women were thought to be killed as well. Now, these people were part of a deal to provide safe passage from several towns besieged by the rebels since 2015. No group has taken responsibility yet. Pope Francis condemned the attack in his Easter address on Sunday, describing it as a vile attack on fleeing refugees.
That's right, Vinny.
That's not good to do.
126 refugees were killed, including 68 children. And this is what happened. All right. So you have these buses of refugees. They're trying to get them out of their war-torn areas of Syria. And there's this Hyundai truck that has a bomb in it. Now, the truck was near the front of the convoy of buses that were stopped at a checkpoint to move injured refugees. So they all have to stop. They're checking on people. They're getting people who have injuries out to get treated. And the guy in this Hyundai truck decided to start handing out candy. So the children all get out of the buses and they all gather around to get this fun candy.
Candy man.
Yeah, the candy man.
Candy man.
They're not always going to molest you. Sometimes they just want to blow you up, and which he did.
The candy man came and he brought himself a bomb to make the world blow up.
Yeah, so that is my creep. The creepiest Easter creep right there is the Syrian suicide bomber who attracted children over towards his truck and then blew them all up.
God damn it.
The worst part is,
The
worst part is, you think like terrorism, it's a means to an end or something. The government blames the rebels for doing this. The rebels blame the government. No one's taking responsibility. So it's just one of those things where someone just decided, like, I'm just going to kill a bunch of people right now.
You got to admit, though, that's a pretty cool pinata, right? Like when the guy blows up and all the candy goes everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just like. I like that you're thinking about the candy. That wasn't my main concern, but all right, I got you. I hear what you're saying. All right, Vinny, that's
well,
my
somebody
creep.
Think about the candy.
Go to the subreddit, the Creep Off subreddit, and vote for who you thought brought the creepiest Easter creep.
It seems like such a waste of candy is all I'm trying to say. Girl.
Jesus, Vinny. You're really missing the point here, buddy. You're really missing the point. All right, are you ready for the next segment of the show?
Please, Carl, lay it on me. It's time for Who Are These Creepos? Yeah? Creepos.
That is correct. I have a show for us to review today. This came in from Japanese Fart Enthusiast in the Discord, in the review suggestions channel of the Discord. We still haven't learned if Japanese Fart Enthusiast is Japanese and enjoys farts, or if he enjoys Japanese farts specifically. I still want to get an answer on that.
Because, you know, the way I would greet them if I met them in person is very much dependent on the answer to that question.
Correct.
Yeah.
I want to introduce you to Stephanie Sue. She has 3 million subscribers on YouTube. She has a true crime show called Rotten Mango.
Would you like me to show the image of her?
Not yet.
Okay.
We're going to start with a video. Now, Stephanie Sue has a true crime show. She also has a mukbang show. Are you like mukbang?
You know that I don't, Carl.
I don't know that you don't. I don't know what you're into.
You know I don't like mukbang.
Well, I think you're going to enjoy this mukbang. So the name of this show...
Why are we watching a mukbang video when we're trying to watch true crime?
Because this is a little bit of a different... A departure from what we normally do. But what she does is she eats a bunch of food, but also tells a true crime story on the video at the same time.
Cool.
So this one is called The Dark Pig Butchering Organization in Cambodia. Lonely women are targeted as pigs. And also Korea KFC, because they're going to have some fast food. So Stephanie Sue is an American, but she flew over to Korea this week. This just came out yesterday. Already has 200,000 views. And what she's going to do is she's going to introduce this mukbang show. Go ahead and play my my first track here.
Honey?
Korea, and I've got Korea McDonald's. You have no idea how excited, how stonked I am for this. Hi everyone, welcome back to my channel. My name is Stephanie, and today we are back with another mukbang. Woo! Okay, so I'm with my fiance in South Korea, in Seoul right now, and we have Korean McDonald's and Korean KFC.
Come on, Vin, you're not a little bit intrigued by this? She has a pile of Korean McDonald's and Korean KFC sitting in front of her. You're a little excited about this.
I think I'd hang with her for a little
bit. Okay. All right. So let's get into it. My track number two, they have some different menu items over in Korea than what we have here in the States.
All right.
Will they have fried chicken skin? Look at these giant mozzarella sticks. Look at these. They call them black label fried chicken. So we're going to eat it all.
Fried chicken skin, Vinny. Would you want that?
Yeah.
You want? That sounds terrible.
Well, dude, don't you ever been to a KFC?
Yeah.
You end up eating it anyway.
I'm not a fan of the skin, but all right.
So you take the, you don't order extra crispy, extra skin?
No, extra skin. No, I do not. That sounds so gross. What's wrong with you?
I made that part up. It's not something I order.
What's wrong with you? So she's complaining about flying for 16 hours to get to Korea, but something saved her on this flight, and that is the game Two Dots. Now, this might seem like just she's telling a story about playing this game. This is indeed a paid endorsement and a bit over the top, if you ask me.
All right, here we go.
You get to travel through these gorgeous worlds and collect things that help you uncover new mechanics, and you solve these puzzles by connecting the dots. You'd think it's so easy. I'm not gonna lie. At first, when I heard of this game, I'm thinking, connecting the dots? How hard could that be? It gets really challenging. I get really excited when I complete a level because I'm like, I feel like I worked for this. I get so excited. It's pure satisfaction and bliss. I have my whole family playing. Even my mom plays on her iPad, which is the most Korean Ajumma thing I've ever seen in my life. She puts on her reading glasses to the edge of her nose. That's what she's doing. And it's just so beautifully designed, and it has these really cute aesthetic music and vibe to it.
That's how normal people talk about a video game. That shot where her entire family were like on their phones playing this game, and like the one brother's pointing at the phone. Whoa, there's a dot right there. It was so generic and horrible.
I don't know what to make of this. Yeah. Like, I understand the idea of like being about family and stuff like that, but showing the whole family, getting them all together, are they getting a cut of this ad money?
I would imagine so. I would hope so.
What do you have to pay your little brother to sit there and pretend to like a video game?
That's a good question. We should ask her. She's got 3 million subs, so I bet it's pretty good money that she's bringing in. Okay, so they might be as excited about fast food as you get, Vinny. This seems over the top to me, but maybe you think this is normal.
This is a cheese ball from KFC?
Mm-hmm. Honey.
Whoa.
These are insane. So this burger, let me dissect it for you, okay?
Oh my god, it's sweet.
Oh, it's sweet?
Mm.
It's got this crazy sauce on top. Then it has these fried onions, a lot of red onions, and some beef at the bottom.
Oh my god, these cheese balls are to die for.
It's so good.
You notice how they're wearing like surgical gloves to eat this food too? That's a bit odd.
They come in the box.
Yeah, probably. So do you get that excited about food, fast food? Do you like open up the sandwiches and look at all the layers and things like that? Because I can picture that you doing that.
You picture me doing that.
Yeah, I do.
I
picture you
really
explaining to Jess or whoever you're with. Like,
you think I'm fucking
this.
Tony
there's
Michaels,
sauce,
you fucking cunt.
Cheese.
You fucking think I'm Tony Michaels. I'm sitting there going, oh, look at the texture of the cheese. It's so gooey.
All right, so they have a thing
fuck
over.
You, I eat it and I enjoy it and I'm happy.
They have a thing over in Europe and in some Asian countries called the 1955 burger at McDonald's, Vinny. And so my next track, you're going to show how dumb these people are.
Wow, incredible.
What is this burger?
That one's the 1955 burger.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's like a...
But that's a different one.
Mm-hmm.
Vinny, what do you think the 1955 burger means?
19% beef, 55% sawdust. The rest is your guess.
Jesus Christ, you're just as dumb as they are.
What is it?
It's the year!
The
original McDonald's.
Okay.
1955 is how they made the burgers back
well,
then.
Well, if I actually thought about it, wasn't looking for a sarcastic answer, I might have come to that.
All right.
Cam Critical makes a point. Vinny only takes his burger apart to make sure they didn't fuck up and add pickles.
Yeah, you're not a pickles guy, are
you? I'll fucking fight you if you put a pickle on my burger.
Are amazing.
I have walked back into store restaurants with the bag.
I could see that.
And I don't let them remake it either. I'm like, you know, money back. I'm not trust you people right now.
What? You can't just pull the pickles off and eat the fucking sandwich?
You have the pickles on there. That fucking shit vinegar fucking gross juice gets into the bun still taste it. Pickles, one of those things. Even if you take it off, you're not really taking it off.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's a good point.
The essence is there.
That's a good point.
And not only that, Carl, they don't deserve my business, these monsters.
All right, so they start talking about this scam called pig butchering. Are you familiar with this scam, Vinny?
Pig butchering? I didn't realize it was a scam. I thought it was a trade.
Okay, that too. So they start talking about this case and this woman, Cindy, who is a Chinese woman living in the States, very wealthy. She's done very well for herself. She starts getting these text messages from this guy, Jimmy. And this whole scam, the way they set it up is you build trust with someone and then you talk about crypto investments and then you get them to invest in this crypto thing. And they even make it seem like it's working at first because you make money. You can even pull the money out if you want to. And they just get you to put more and more money into this thing. And then they eventually take all your money.
Gotcha.
Is basically what the deal is. So this is now Stephanie. Because what I just told you, who's the bad guy in this scenario?
The bad guy is the dummy who keeps dumping their stuff in there. I believe in victim blaming.
Okay. Well, very good. Then Stephanie's going to agree with you at track six here.
Okay. Does she know? Do I have to play the victim blame jingle for her?
No.
But apparently, not all scammers are bad. You're like, how can that be? They're scammers. They're the evil ones. Apparently, some scammers are tricked or kidnapped into becoming scammers, into becoming Jimmies. They're tricked into becoming pig butchers. Some of them are kidnapped off the street, thrown into this massive walled compound where they're shoved 10 phones into their hands, forced to work 20 hours a day to scam foreigners. There's a whole human trafficking ring behind the scam calls that we're getting, behind the scam texts that we're getting. It's not collectively a bunch of bad people being like, let's go scam people. People are getting kidnapped. People are being held hostage. People are being tortured when they don't meet their scam quotas. They're being tasered with electronic tasers. They're being locked in cells, starved, beaten. It's very common for these scammers to have broken legs and arms.
Did you know about this, Vinny? Do you know that all these people are trying to get you to, you know, they're a prince in Somalia or whatever? You know that they were at broken legs and a broken arm when they're typing those emails to you?
That's completely insane. I did not know any of that. Well, and I don't know if I believe it.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, as I'm watching this, I'm like, for some reason, I believe everything she's saying. I don't know why. It's very compelling to me.
And it's like this city that's centered around casinos. So I imagine like a Vegas spot. He saw these TikToks, these Instagram stories of Chinese expats that were living there, showing off their flashy cars, their flashy cash. They were talking online about how they had moved from China to Cambodia to work at these casinos, and now they're rolling in money. They're wiping their asses with it because they have so much money and they're living the dream. The standard of living is lower in Cambodia, so it's even better. That's what they said. That's what they're saying. So, of course, Didi, he was intrigued. He connects with one of them who was recruiting for a casino in Cambodia. And that person directs him to a Chinese recruiter that's going to help him get the right paperwork, the right documents that are needed to start working at that casino. The Chinese recruiter meets up with him and then knocks him out, drags him by the collar, throws him in a van, and illegally smuggles him into Cambodia. Basically, I mean, In every sense of the word, he kidnaps him. Dee Dee ends up in a walled compound with guards and guns staring pointed at him. He was in a scam compound.
Okay. What she just said, for people who aren't hearing this, is she's telling the story about a guy who was looking to work at this casino in Cambodia. You're going to make all this money working at this casino. So he goes to meet up with this Chinese recruiter who's going to help him with the paperwork. They knock him out, throw him in a van, and then drive him to this prison where he's forced to just scam people 12 hours a day. Because I guess she actually has some evidence of that ridiculous notion that scammers all have broken arms and legs when they're texting you and calling you and trying to get you to invest in crypto. So this is all news to me. I just want one more clip here to play.
I think I just replaced the cable. I had an extra one sitting here. So we'll try this.
It was a cable thing. Okay.
We'll try this.
Hold okay. On, so one more clip to play here. And because they're talking again about Cindy. Now, Jimmy, the scammer, got Cindy to invest $2.5 million into cryptocurrency.
And
it doubled in value. And so now she has $5 million and she wants to take it out. So the problem is you have to give them 10% of how much you want to take out in order to take that money out. So if you have $5 million, the 10% fee has to be paid up front before you can take the $5 million. So $500,000 would have to go to them.
Who falls for this?
Dummies. But listen to how stupid her and her fiance are when they get into the math aspect of this.
She has some...
She's starting to get some sneaking suspicions because the whole service fee is really bizarre. Because, okay, if I'm not mistaken, most places like this, I know that they charge platform fees and stuff, but if they do, don't they take it out of your money as you're withdrawing? So if they're like, we have a 10% fee, they take it out? So I'm like withdrawing $5 million and they're like, oh, sorry, we have a 10% trading fee.
Yeah.
Don't they take it out and then I get like $4.5 million
instead? Yes, yes.
Yeah, they wanted her to put in
$500,000. Oh, they want even more money.
So they're
money.
Like, you need to put in $500,000 and then I'll give you $5 million. Wow. Instead of being like, oh, you're trying to take out $5 million? Let me take away 10% and give you the rest. They were like, you need to pay $500,000 and then we'll give you $5 million. So it was very weird.
Then... it should be like, okay, then that means she should just take out $500,000.
Yeah.
So to take out $500,000, she just need to put in $50,000.
Yeah.
And to take out $50,000, she just got to put in $5,000. Does that make sense?
Yes.
To put in $5,000, she just need to put in $500. So for $500, she can take the whole thing out, step by step.
Oh, you're such a little scammer.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You put $500, you get $5,000.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Anyway, the fiance is dumb because he's going, all right, so it's 10%. So don't take out the entire $5 million because that's $500,000. Instead, you take out like $500 and that's only $50. And she's like, oh yeah, I didn't think of that. It's like, dummies,
nope.
It's 10%. Either way, it's 10%. No matter how many different times you take out smaller amounts of money. I was just shocked by that. I feel like their families should be shamed. They brought shame upon their families for not understanding how math works. But anyway, Vinny, this was a fun one for me. And I'll tell you why I think she has so many followers. I said, 3 million subscribers. So there's a lot of photos. There's a lot of photos on her Instagram that are very sexual in nature. Here she's eating some type of thing on a stick that looks like a cock with balls and cum drizzling down it.
Oh, she's a treasure.
She really is a treat, isn't she, Vinny?
Can't do math, but you know.
You know what, Vinny? I thought you'd be turned on by this. Not because she's a pretty cute girl, but because she's really into food. I thought maybe that would be a thing for you, but not your thing?
No, that's pretty hot. Not going to lie.
All right, good.
Not going to lie.
I thought so.
That's pretty hot. I hope you guys can hear some voicemails. Let's find out. Brought to you by our friends in Syracuse.
The Creep Off voicemail segment is brought to you by the city of Syracuse. A notice to all Syracuse Easter Bunnies, it's now time to return to your work release program. See you in Syracuse.
I have a voicemail for
you. Okay, go ahead.
Vinny, let's start off here because I agree with this person.
Hello, it's the Count Photographer. I'm calling for the creep off because I think Vinny is a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. Ohio is amazing.
Yep.
Fuck him. Our goddamn theme song for the state is Ohio the Beautiful. It sounds like a drunken ballad. It's awesome. We have the most roller coasters in the world, Vinny, the most astronauts, the most presidents, the most fucking talent. All the talent in this country comes from Ohio, you fat piece of shit. Fuck you. I'm from Ohio, Carl, in case he doesn't play the other voicemail. That's why I'm so irate about this. Love you, Carl. Voted for you this week. Smooches.
All right. Thanks, Kyle Photographer. Yeah, Vinny, you really went after Ohio pretty hard. A lot of fine people there. From Columbus to Cleveland. And
there's a lot of fine people. A
few points in between.
That live in a hellscape of corn and nothing.
Okay.
There are a lot of fine people. Sure, all I right. guess.
All right, Vinny.
A lot of bland blobs of vanilla, wow, nothing.
Keep up your fight against Ohio.
Fuck all Ohio. Right.
We'll see where that gets you.
Hey, guys. Food for thought. Dick on the Dick Show brought in Douglas Mackey that made that meme saying, hey, vote by text. He's facing a maximum of 10 years in prison. Yeah. Vinny, the creep that you brought in raped dozens of children, got them addicted to drugs, ended up pimping out his own children, got the adults addicted to drugs, sucked them into shit. All this stuff, 40 years. So that tells me at any point in time, we are only 4 memes away from being on level playing ground with a disgusting, vile child rapist who probably has terabytes of kiddie porn. That's fucking scary. I think the U.S. government's the creep. Oh, shit. This is long. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
No, all good points, sir.
Yeah, not going to argue.
Agreed on that one.
Not going to argue.
Do you know about that story? That's insane.
No, who's Douglas Mackey? Tell me more.
So, this guy, there was this, they call it a meme, I don't know, but an image or something that gave the wrong date for when to vote. And he targeted Black people to let them know, like, hey, don't forget to vote on this date, but it was the wrong date.
Okay.
And so they called that election interference because this guy was just sharing a dumb GIF or whatever the fuck it was.
Did he make the GIF?
I don't even think he made it. I don't know.
All he did was share.
Does it matter?
And he was the one guy that the out.
Has anyone ever put something on the internet that's not true before, including the government all the time?
Listen, Jesus, you libertarian Christ. Asshole. I understand that. I'm just trying to say that if he made it intentionally trying to fuck with people,
who cares?
Okay. Solid point.
You can't intentionally try to fuck with people now?
No, that's I'm saying I can see why people would be upset. But if somebody put it up as a joke and they end up in fucking jail over it, yeah, it's a problem. Do the wave thing in front of the camera.
If I'm just frozen.
Just do the wave thing.
I did do the wave thing. No, Jesus, it's not that. Christ. It's not a motion detection thing, I don't think.
Oh, fucking
this is a disaster. How separate is Surfer going to go tonight? Is it going to be better?
I don't know. It's probably going to be me hanging from a noose. Everybody's just going to see my ankles dangling with that microphone in front of it. And then they're going to see the ceiling give it.
Oh, no. Tune in.
Go to Carl's house. Go to fucking hell.
No. Yeah, we should do it at my house. I don't have these types of problems.
I don't know what the fuck's going on today. All right. You got any more voicemails or you want to just do a scum parade? Because I'm ready to do a scum parade if you are.
Buddy, I am so ready to do a scum parade.
Skull parade, take me on a raid of these fuck charades that these creeps have made. Skull parade, Vinny and Carl gonna tell you about some fuck shit. Skull parade, like stories of a kid fucked by his mom or dad, soaking up the blood of a cat. Skull parade.
I got a creep update, Carl.
All right.
Remember when we talked a while back about that consequence on the wheel, the handcuff music consequence?
Oh, I sure do. I believe that was your idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it was based on a story that we are about to revisit, folks. Two former Oklahoma County jailers have pled no contest to a misdemeanor cruelty charge for forcing inmates to listen to Baby Shark as punishment. Gregory Cornell Butler Jr. and Christian Charles Miles were put on probation for 2 years and fined $200 for that shit. That's it. They were also ordered to pay $300 in victims' compensation and complete 40 hours of community service.
Dude,
and they're banned from working in law enforcement.
40 hours of community service? They should just have to listen to Baby Shark for 40 hours. Wouldn't that be a better punishment for this?
Yeah.
I mean, cruel, unusual, Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the best, though? Like, if these fucking guys had to go out and, like, pick up trash on the side of the highway, and they just have, like, that jail bus with the door open with Baby Shark blasting from the radio.
That'd be amazing. Oh, I like that these guys both pleaded no contest rather than go through the most embarrassing trial in U.S. history. That was a smart move on their part.
I mean, there was no way they would be able to get away with not explaining that it's torture. Why did you pick this song?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'm going to play for you 30 seconds of the song they played for 40 hours. Or no, what was it, 10 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Carl.
Yes.
Both were charged after the investigation determined handcuffed inmates were forced to stand for hours chained to a wall in the attorney visitation booth as discipline. One victim said he had to listen to Baby Shark for 2 hours straight. Mm. Another said the weird little song was blaring and played over and over and over again. So they said it was a joke between the two, and the two of them would like say, "Hey, we're going to Baby Shark somebody."
Pretty good gag.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So they were able to. Well,
hold on a second.
Contest,
let me ask
like
you this,
Vinny. Yeah.
Waterboarding or 2 hours of Baby Shark? Which would you rather, what torture would you rather endure?
Baby Shark.
Okay.
Baby Shark.
It's up there though, right? You got to admit.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be waterboarded ever. That sounds like fucking horrific.
It sounds pretty bad, but you know, the CIA is reading this and going, "Oh, that's interesting. We can just play Baby Shark on a loop. All right."
You think they haven't been doing that for?
Maybe that, you know what?
Like, you don't think that Baby Shark is a psyop, Carl?
Baby Shark was written by the CIA. Holy shit. We've blown the whole thing wide open, Vinny.
How could that catchy of an awful song be let out into the open, into the public?
Breaking news, crack cocaine and Baby Shark developed by the deep state.
From what I understand, Baby Shark was developed after a songwriter made love to a Patagonian.
Yes, that is true. It could have escaped from a lab. We're not sure yet.
Police in Canada, Carl. This is.
Hold on a second before we move on.
Okay.
So in this same article, one of the plaintiffs died of a fentanyl overdose in jail. So this prison is fucked. They have drugs in there. People are dying of ODing on fentanyl. And they're like, yeah, but the real problem here is Baby Shark. No, there's other problems that are worse than Baby Shark, I would opine.
Yeah. Honestly, I would consider fentanyl if they were doing the Baby Shark thing. I think about it for a second.
Oh, yeah. No, I would I would do it right now if I had to do this show for another 20 minutes.
Vinny. Okay. Vinny, why you live in Rochester and rep only warm weather teams? Fair weather fan.
Likely a fair weather fan. I like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm originally from San Diego, so I can rep this one. Miami is just personal preference because Buffalo is disgusting.
And also, Boston is not a warm weather city.
That is true. Police in Canada, Carl. This is a story that has me a little upset. A little upset because you know how I feel about pedophile hunters.
Yeah.
I'm generally on their side.
You are. You love it.
I'm generally on their side.
You consume the content. You donate money to it.
Yeah.
You love it.
Yeah. I think it's great. I feel these people should be getting shamed publicly. I'm totally great with it. Big J and I had an interesting conversation about Alex Rosen. They apparently Big J went riding along with those guys.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Said he didn't have a great time.
I believe it. Doesn't look like fun.
Said it was not a lot of fun.
I believe that.
So police in Canada have arrested members of a vigilante pedophile hunting group, charging them with distribution of child abuse images amid frustration over the group's controversial tactics. Now, we've discussed a lot of the times when these things happen, are these actual cases? Are there going to be technicalities that because of things that happened in the investigation, because of the way that they got this information? Like, a lot of people who are very, very guilty have walked free because of the way evidence was collected in these pedophile hunter scams. That's why the cops don't necessarily love them.
Right. It's more for the pedo hunter than it is to serve justice or anything like that. They're just doing it because they enjoy fucking with these people.
Content is king, baby.
And it's content.
Yeah.
But there's entrapment involved in the way they go about this that probably gets a lot of these people off the hook.
Cops could not do what these people do.
The FBI can. They do it all the time.
Sure.
But these people can't.
Right.
Right.
Now, Quebec police announced on Thursday that six people have been arrested as part of an investigation into a group that had drawn complaints from the public. from pedophiles.
Yep.
These people got me busted. That's what we're talking about here. I want you to remember that.
Guys, you know how much time I wasted chatting with a 13-year-old girl that wasn't even really a 13-year-old girl?
What is my time worth, eh?
I'll never get that time back.
Mint says, happy Super Chat Monday. Thanks for $2, man.
Thanks, Mint.
So five of the suspects on their mid to late 20s face charges of distributing the images, with some also charged with criminal harassment, intimidation, and forcible confinement. A sixth person, a 40-year-old man, faces criminal harassment, intimidation, and forcible confinement charges. Police say in the city of Gatineau, members of the group who were involved in the hunt would film their meetings with alleged pedophiles after contacting them online, posting the clips widely on social media. But in order to lure people, the group used sexually explicit photos faked to give the appearance that the subjects were underage. Okay. There's a distinction here. These are fake photos that were faked to look like child porn. Not great to have.
Well, hold on a second. This was news to me. I had no idea. I was all ready to hate the pedo hunters and go police.
Oh,
go
no, Quebec. I'm getting to Quebec's law here.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I'm getting there, Carl. Okay. But in order to lure people, they use those photos. Though they were exchange of photos during the conversations, and what the law says is when you share a photo that is an explicit pornographic material and that you claim that it represents a person of age minor, even if it really isn't, it is considered under the law as child pornography.
That doesn't make any sense, Rick.
It's considered as such, even if in truth, it doesn't really represent the body of a minor person.
So if you claim that it's a minor, even though it's not a minor, it's against the law. That's retarded. Because there's no victim there. This is like drawing naked children. It's like there's no victim. So how the hell is that against the law? Hey, Vinny,
yeah.
In my bag over there that I brought in today,
yeah,
kilo of meth in there. I have a kilo of meth amphetamine.
Yeah. Well, that'll help me
in that
get
bag
to the
right
bottom
there.
Of all the problems in the studio today.
In that bag right there, I have a kilo of illegal drugs, illicit material. Now, I don't, but I said I did.
Yep.
Can I be arrested? In Quebec, would they arrest me for that?
Maybe.
Because I said I had illegal drugs. I don't. Hey, there's a naked minor. It isn't.
I feel like you would be arrested just because your presence is offensive to the people of Quebec.
You know what?
Maybe, I don't think they'd like you.
I don't know if you noticed this, but the real reason why these guys were arrested is because when they were doing these chats with the pedos, they weren't using both English and French. It's a law there that you have to use both.
They got to put a stop to this.
Yeah.
One group, Creep Catchers, has long frustrated police for their methods, which at times have interfered in police investigations and have come with, quote, tragic circumstances. In 2016, a woman in Alberta took her life months after she was confronted by the group. That's fine. In 2017, police arrested the head of a Surrey Creep Catchers, Ryan LaForge, on an outstanding warrant as he attempted to arrest someone he claimed was a pedophile. The same year, Quebec police said arrested William Drapeau in Sherbrooke after he tried setting up a fake sexual encounter. In addition to the a fake sexual encounter, hey, if you say so, you got to put out.
Right.
What are we saying here?
Yeah, that's the good kind of sexual encounter, right?
Yeah. In addition to the charges announced on Thursday, Quebec officers seized digital materials and found a firearm that was stored improperly. So they went and searched all their shit just to look for a problem.
Try to find whatever they could find, obviously.
In no case can a person just take justice into their own hands, even if they are the victim of a crime, wherever it may be, the police said in a statement. So who are the creeps here? The cops.
That law is ridiculous. And I have to say that Creep Catchers is my favorite name. Instead of the Guardians, speaking of Ohio, Cleveland should have been the
Cleveland Creep
Catchers.
Should have just been the Creeps.
It's way more catchy, don't you think?
The Creep Catchers?
Yeah, the Creep Catchers. You know, you have a catcher on a baseball team.
Okay. It is better than Guardians.
It's better than Guardians. We can all agree on that.
Carl, you want to talk about a fun birthday?
I love fun birthdays.
This guy.
I love fun facts, fun shows, and fun birthdays.
This guy is 25 years old. Tony J. Saunders Jr.
Yep.
On his 25th birthday, he led the Pennsylvania State Police on a chase, crashed a BMW, killed a deer, stole a school bus, put the deer inside the school bus to use as fertilizer later for his garden, led the police on another chase, fled from the school bus, stripped naked, led police on another foot chase, was arrested, and admitted to all of it with a smile on his face.
Can we please get this guy on the Creep Off, Vinny? Can we reach out to him? I love this guy.
He is from Florida, shocker, and yeah, he was up in Pennsylvania where he was arrested. He told police that he had taken the bus after crashing the BMW, which apparently into the deer in the early morning hours of April 4th. He had placed a deceased deer in the back of the bus, was going to drive the deer to his residence and use the deceased deer as fertilizer for his garden. So the bus was reported stolen from the Abbottstown, Pennsylvania State Police in Gettysburg earlier in the morning, and a broadcast was sent to local police to be on the lookout for it in York and Adams counties. Now, police in Carroll Township received a call about the bus in their area around 7:10 a.m. They spotted the school bus flashing its lights while driving through a parking lot of a Giant Foods and a Rite Aid. So the bus exited the parking lot, turned onto a side street. When the police confirmed it was the correct bus, followed it north, and they attempted to stop it. The bus eventually pulled over and nearly immediately pulled away and continued to drive.
Yeah.
So he did the old rope-a-dope thing on the cops. Yeah, pull it over.
See if they get out of their cars. Like, I'm out of here.
Here's the thing. You're not getting away in a bus.
No, not a great escape vehicle.
The worst escape vehicle. The bus continued to drive on a Gettysburg Road, the police detailed in the release. Now, Saunders hopped out and fled on foot through a wooded area after leaving the bus behind. Bystanders provided a physical description saying he was, quote, a black male wearing a black sweatshirt. Officers persuaded him to lead them through the parking lots and busy traffic areas, which vehicles entering and exiting businesses. The male then stripped out of his clothing as he fled. It was apprehended completely nude by railroad tracks.
So, Vinny, you have to admit, if this guy could turn this story into a bit,
yeah,
it would be way better than The Machine. Like, this guy, Bert Kreischer would have nothing on this guy if he could turn this into a bit. This is a hilarious story. You know, he comes up on stage. He's like, all right, so anybody here celebrate their 25th birthday in a unique way? And everyone's like, yeah, 25th birthday. Like, they all know the bit's coming.
Oh, man. Either way, they also caught him for weed.
Dude, I want to follow this guy's career now. Like he's a rookie wide receiver with a lot of promise. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna be following this guy everywhere he goes.
He's not as fun as Henry Ruggs.
Who's Henry Ruggs?
The Raiders guy who crashes Ferrari.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, he seemed like a lot of fun, but yeah, this guy, man, he's got some charges. He's got some charges.
Yeah, he's having fun, though.
Now, folks, there's not a lot of atrocity in this week's Scum Parade, but boy, is this a fun story to close out on before we read a letter from Podcast Shipman. A movie theater manager in Georgia, Carl.
Yes.
Is facing multiple charges after he's accused of trying to kiss a teen employee in the business's break room.
Okay.
Officers were called around 2:40 p.m. on March 31st about a sexual assault at a Regal Cinema. The 17-year-old told police she was cleaning the break room when her manager came in and tried to forcibly kiss her. That's when she ran into a restroom, locked the door, and called her dad. Officers also spoke with the accused manager, 60 years old, who said he went to check on the employee after he instructed her to clean the break room. According to the police, the man said he scolded her for being on her phone instead of cleaning up.
That sounds believable.
And then she says, I tried to kiss her. I can't believe it. She was just being a shitty teenager, not doing her job. Then they asked about security cameras. The manager told police, security cameras? There's not any security cameras in the break room.
Yeah, not in the break room. What, are you crazy?
And then they go, oh, no, what about that camera right there? He goes, oh, that camera.
Oh, that one.
That one hasn't worked in years, guys.
He's like, oh, yeah, no, that camera got Epstein. I'm sorry. No, you're not going to.
Yeah, that one doesn't work. So they call the manager's boss and request the footage. They continue their investigation. During that time, police say the manager snuck away, locked himself in an office where the theater's camera system is housed.
Yep.
Another employee had a key. They opened the door. Officers said they saw the manager then tampering with the security footage.
Dude, this guy employs nothing but tattletales. Do you notice that? Like, he every single employee is telling on this guy.
The shittiest boss ever.
I'm saying the employees suck. He's just trying to make out with a smoking hot teenager in the break room. And everyone's tattling on him.
Oh, my
God. You know what this article didn't say, though, Vinny?
What's that?
They never talk about the 17-year-old's breast size. No mention of it at all.
Well,
we're just left to guess or speculate, I guess.
I'm guessing they had to be something pretty intense for this guy to like lose his job and his livelihood over.
That's what I'm guessing too. Let's talk about it for 30 or 40 minutes.
Okay. Authorities that watched the footage, which showed the manager walk up to the teen, place a hand on her waist, and lift her head before leaning his face close to hers. The employee pushed his hands away and rushed out of the room, the video shows.
Dude, he's 60 and that's his game? He's got no moves?
Carl,
not good, man. Not good.
There are no moves anymore. When you get to a certain age, there's no moves anymore. You just stop. Don't do it. The manager was arrested and charged with sexual assault and tampering with evidence. Police said it's unclear if he's still employed at the theater. So this place was in Noonan, Georgia, about 40 miles southwest of downtown Atlanta. Carl, are you ready?
Yes.
To read this letter?
Are you going to read it to me, Vinny?
I'm going to give it to you to read to everybody.
I want you to read it.
You want me to read
it? Yeah, you read it.
Okay. I'm not going to be able to see it very well back here.
I'm not good with the handwriting.
Okay. Well, this is the page I'm going to keep, everybody.
Okay. You going to read it in order? Or do you want to start with
because the, he drew this hand drawn
picture.
Cobra
Commander?
It is.
Dude.
He fucking drew. He wrote a letter to Cobra Commander, Carl.
What is going on here?
That's a pretty good Cobra Commander right there.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to frame that.
I'm guessing he's not tracing that either, right?
I don't know what don't he know. Did. That's it's good. Pretty good.
Good job.
It's pretty good.
Podcast hit, man. Matt Lewinsky. Okay.
What the actual fuck, Brody? This is literally addressed to Cobra Commander. Cobra Commander, what the actual fuck, Brody? You told me that when I paid membership to the 80s Kid Villain of the Month Club that you, Skeletor, Shredder, Browser, Megatron, and all the others beloved 80s villains would have my back no matter what. It's been 600 days in, and I'm still here. How haven't I been bailed out yet, man?
What the
fuck? You're a letdown. I now understand why G.I. Joe always wins. If you'd be less concerned about company, rebrand, stocking the break room, and Lisa in accounting, you keep your eyes on the prize. By the way, Lisa has no ass. She's too skinny.
Mental illness can literally drive you crazy.
If you're not going to do what you're supposed to do, put some money on my stuff. You know the 90s villains would be up for it. Joker and Riddler. None would keep this right. By the way, your gay porno line has been used in here at least a dozen times. And one white dude now apologizes and says it just him. Tell sexy ass Evelyn I love her. Stop disappointing me, Matt.
Wow.
That's one page.
That is the ramblings of an insane person right there.
Yep, that's what I'm keeping.
Did he ask us to not read this on the show again?
He wrote this to me.
Okay, all right, very good.
This is a little strip. See this, Carl? This is a little piece of this.
Okay.
But this is on the back of a sheet to sign up for a Philly cheesesteak calzone served with ranch dressing and potato chips for $10.50 for a thing called Scrub and Grub.
Ranch dressing? That's stupid. What the fuck? Where is he in Michigan?
Yeah.
They put ranch dressing on their steak bombers?
He wrote this one, Vinny. V-Y-N-N-Y.
I like that.
Pass this all along to Carl. Y'all need to put some cash on my accounts. ICS mobile app and GTL getting out app.
Okay.
Then I could get real hot food I like on the reverse. Again, don't read my shit on the creep.
Whoops.
You could post my address on Discord, send hot chick pics or wall periodicals online.com for bikini bitches. PH.
By the way,
nope.
I don't know if I told you this, but I got an email from the correctional facility that he's in. Maybe I can find it real quick. But it was asking for. Oh, I don't know what it would be under, but it was asking for permission to contact me. From Matt Lewinsky, and I filled out all the stuff and I said yes and all that. And I haven't heard anything.
Did you send him something from Amazon?
No.
Okay. This one is to you.
Okay.
I'll save the hold on. This is literally four pages, guys. And wait till I tell you who the last two are to. Carl, please tell me Petty C Cups is still podcasting.
He is.
On March 10th, 2010, I swear Patrick Michael entered my unit. This dude is that weird, Patrick Michael level.
Wait, March 10th, 2010.
Yeah.
Is that what he wrote?
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't even know what year it is.
That's what he wrote. I'm reading to you what he wrote.
Is it possible that he's trying to act crazy in order to get a deal? Like, maybe we're part of like his whole grand scheme to get out of this. What? I don't care.
I don't
keep reading.
Facially, he's a Skinner version of Pat, and there are no Gunzes. From the pic we saw of him, Carly and Ho Kids, he's about 60 pounds lighter. He shaved his red hair into a mohawk, and he has the douche beard and the thin jawline. This dude even has Seamus' sense of humor. He booked a pic of the J-Lo some dude, and he glued a black and white pic of his mugshot over the dude's face. When we watch the news, he reads the headlines and tries to make jokes. Surprisingly, Animal jingles is what, well, I don't know what that word is.
Dude,
he works
out. Who
cares
about a guy who looks like a guy that we know?
Yeah.
Why are you explaining all this? I don't give a shit about that.
This is bullshit. I'm going to save this one for you to read later.
Okay. Yeah, this is boring.
Here's one to Jen and Chrissy.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Chrissy,
Yeah, this is.
Is Chrissy the one sending him stuff?
I think she might be.
Yeah, she's saying that she sent a magazine subscription.
Apparently, if it was from Amazon, they sent it back.
Oh, okay.
That's what he said in his thing.
Bummer.
Yeah, so this one is from, is to Jen.
Oh, Jesus.
I wanna fuck Jen like an animal.
Uh-oh.
Feel the jingles from the inside.
Yikes. All right.
Jen slash Chrissy. You know, a letter is always good when it starts with, just hear me out.
Oh, boy.
The idea is threesome.
Wow.
We could make this work.
I mean, Jen and Chrissy are technically related.
Provided y'all have cute feet and nice asses, send pics.
Wait, so he's going to be like, oh, never mind. Yeah, your toes are a little gnarly. Never mind.
Also be ready to wear a whipped cream bikini.
Be ready to, okay.
Or a frosting bra. The key is be ready, capitalized.
So hold on a second.
For anything.
Hold on a second. So this guy is so fat that even when he's having sexual fantasies, it involves sweets.
Yep.
I want you to be naked after I eat the food off of you that makes you naked.
I've been in here so long that this thing's going to last days. Be stocked on water, Gatorade, something and protein. We're banging any and all positions.
Oh, no.
Bring on the boys and restraints, too.
Any and all. The only position that he could possibly pull off is cowgirl or reverse cowgirl.
I'm sure.
This guy's laying flat on his back during sex. There's no other way he's doing it.
If you need a break, I'm sure Vic, Casey, or Chrissy Mayer could swap in. Just
too bad he doesn't know about Hannah. It's too bad that he was before the Hannah pics came out. Why would he be in love with Hannah?
Just know, nothing near my butt. That ain't cool if y'all got...
What, we're negotiating now? Dude, you're in no position to negotiate, sir. You'll take whatever they give you.
Okay. Just know, nothing near my butt. That ain't cool. If y'all got any NAS, speak now or forever hold your peace. Maybe we could record it and proceeds could go to me in jail. When I get up, it's a solid business model. Love to you both, Matt.
Wait, did he say, you said NAS, did he mean nose? If there are any nose.
Oh, yeah, I guess. I thought he was talking about like the energy drink.
Yeah, what the fuck? So he thinks in his fantasy, he's going to
double team your wife and your sister-in-law. Right. He's going to cuck all the hamburger boys.
Yeah, right. So what he's going to do is he's going to have this threesome and, you know, maybe bring in some review girls too, but also make money on that. It's also a business model as well.
According to this genius. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. That's a bit delusional, sir.
Not as delusional as the piece de la resistance.
Sleeping with Jenny Jingles only costs money. It doesn't make money.
Okay, dude. This letter is to Carly.
Okay. So this is Patty C. Cup's baby's mama.
Ms. Mack, what's up? My name is Matt, and you may be familiar with me because of your ex, Patrick Michael, his last name. Hopefully, he's hated of me. Never turned to neglect or abuse towards you or your kids.
Hopefully I hear his you're hatred single. Towards him didn't turn into okay. I got it.
Yeah. Hopefully his hatred of me. I mean, he writes like a fucking no, I know. Murderer.
That's why I didn't want to read it because I get very frustrated trying yeah. to read that.
His hatred of me never turned into neglect or abuse towards you or your kids. I hear you're single and ready to mingle. Obviously, you also like Bad Boys, as he has a record now, as do I too. So if you want to chat. Oh, write me.
That's a good angle. All right. That makes sense to me. That's a good one.
I first became aware of your existence because he had nearly 37,000 podcasts and was pissing off successful shows. When his first show got reviewed on Who Are These Podcasts, we all thought he was stupid and it was a one and done. Instead, it brought more content than ever. Then after hearing an obvious lie about endangering your son, I did a deep dive into his show and found mostly normal. And, you know, you sound sweet, but clearly tired and annoyed. Then I found out you work as a something at a somewhere. And if it makes sense, it also makes you more attractive because you're doing God's work. I self-edited that for
everybody. No, I understand. That's yeah. a good thing to do.
If you ever need evidence to keep him away from your kids, check out WATP. There were clips
so helpful, this guy.
Of ignored kids screaming babies and the infamous Patrick Michael beat this kid episode.
How do we get this to Carly? I feel like she needs to see this information.
We all were shocked and damaged. It's why the host and a co-host named fucking wanted to send you something for surviving this. Wow, I can't read this. I also who he hates me because I called him out about CPS getting involved.
Oh, right.
If he wasn't caring for your kids, you were the only one with a job. He was your third child with such rages that make you glad you're free. Weird.
I forgot that Patty Seacops, Patty Broken Skull, Patty Pukewater, Patrick Michael, whatever you want to call him, Animal Crosley. I forgot that he hated Matt Lewinsky, Podcast Hitman.
Yep.
Because Podcast Hitman was the one who brought up CPS shit, and that would freak Patty out. He hated when people would bring up CPS. There must be something to that. Hey, Zero asks, how long is he in for? We don't know because the justice system in this country is broken. And this, what was it, 2020? When did he?
Yeah. And he's, it was during the pandemic. So, yeah, 2020, 21.
So we're still waiting for the trial to happen. So he's just been in jail.
They've just been basically keeping him in, it's county yeah. jail, isn't it?
Yeah, they're just kicking the can down the road. SS, what did he do? He killed his girlfriend. And kept her in his basement for 7 months. And there was flesh missing off of her back.
Yeah.
So there's been speculation.
He was making back bacon.
Yeah.
Here's my theory,
though. We don't know that.
Here's what I think happened.
I think he was trying to get rid of her with an ice cream scoop. You know, it's going to take some time, but he's got nothing but time.
For the same reason why my wife will never get rid of me, getting rid of a human body is very difficult to do.
Yeah, she was a and big so, gal.
I think that what happened was he started like to do it and didn't have the stomach for it and just left it there.
Oh, interesting.
I think he was trying to start to chop her up to get rid of her and couldn't handle it. That's my guess. I thought about it long and hard.
See, that's when you need a buddy, right? Like if you get the phone call from me, Vinny.
Yeah.
Hypothetically.
Yeah.
And I say, look at, I can't take Jen anymore. I had to make some changes around my household.
It's about time. She was bumming us all out, Carl.
Yep. And I'm like, but I'm going to need your help, buddy.
Okay.
It's going to be difficult to get her out of my house in the state that she's in right now.
Okay.
I'm just going to need someone to help me.
Oh, what is she, drunk?
She was.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a thing.
That checks out.
So I'm just wondering if maybe, you can help me out with this. Are we on that level?
Oh, buddy, I'm your podcast partner. Of course I'm coming to help.
Good. Thank you. I just wanted to know.
Who's your ride or die, Carl? Who do you call, Producer Chris or me?
That's what I thought, buddy. I feel like Producer Chris would snitch.
I'd sit there.
You're a guy who would keep a secret.
Until they put donuts or pizza in front of me.
Oh, fuck. That's right. Yeah.
Bring in the Korean fried chicken skin and we'll have a conversation off.
Easily compromised. Ah, shit.
You want the rest of that letter to Carly? Because it's double-sided here.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that was still going. Jesus.
Really? I want to get to know you at a Fred level. I would like to see what makes you tick and why you have such low self-esteem that you chose that loser.
This is not the way to hit on a girl, by the way.
This is so funny. He's in jail. He strangled a woman.
But also...
And he's still fucking taking shots at Patty C cups.
But also, I just want to point out that that's her kid's father. So it's not... I mean, even if she thinks he's a piece of shit, probably not a great way to convince her to go with him. I'm just saying. I don't know. What do I know?
Yeah.
He might have a better game than I do.
I'm not asking for support beyond writing. You just have your kids to worry about. It would be selfish if I asked you for anything else. And then he says, if you want to write me, I'm currently at a place that I'm not telling anybody because he doesn't deserve shit. That's where I'm at.
Yeah. You think he's no good?
I think he's no good. We might be good at draw art. He might be good at art. You know what murder art is worth? Something. Keeping this. This right here.
More than Hunter Biden shit.
I'm going to put this next to my Sergeant Slaughter autograph.
Sweet.
With the little Cobra Commander pointing at him.
That is great.
Yeah.
Is that the end of it? Is that everything?
That's everything.
Okay. Well, I'll bring home the note to Jenny Jingles. Sure she'll enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm sure her and Chrissy are going to jump right on that one.
Oh, yeah.
What an offer.
Ah, but he's behind bars. Damn it. If only.
They got to be behind bars to keep you ladies out.
That's right.
You too, whores.
Whoa, no, whoa, whoa,
just
whoa,
kidding.
Whoa.
I love them both. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Brutal.
I know, I'm the worst. That is wild. I don't know what to fucking make of it, but when I saw the letter, I came in Friday afternoon and Mark was in the office. He goes, you got a letter from a prison. I went, get the fuck out of here. He's still writing. It was last spring, almost a year since he wrote the last letter.
So Who Are These Podcasts has a P.O. box now people can write to. So we got to get that information over to Mr. Lewinsky so he can write to me directly.
You don't want that, do you?
Oh, of course I do. I love this guy's letters. I think they're great.
Okay. Well, yeah, definitely take the rest of it home with you. And for those of you who are watching, thank you for putting up with our bullshit YouTube show. We're going to get the audio episode out. It'll sound great as usual.
Cam Critical with $5.
Oh, shit. I missed it. He missed the opportunity to say forever, hold my peace.
I see. I get it.
0 out of 10.
I get it.
Good stuff.
And then L Skyward Gons. Hey, bitch, you have bad taste in men. Want to go out? Yeah. Not a good, not a good way to approach that.
Yeah. Agreed. Carl, we'll be back next week. We're going to be back on Wednesday. And I believe we're going to try out your little experiment that you proposed. Nobody seemed objected to it.
Okay.
On Patreon. So tune in here Wednesday. You're going to get a little free taste of what we do on the bonus episodes because we're going to do a live stream for everybody.
Yeah, live stream on Wednesday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. Normally, we only make that available to our subscribers on Patreon, Supercast, and Backed By.
Yep.
But we're going to do one experimental episode where we let everybody watch it live, and then we'll take it down afterwards. So you got to watch it live if you're not subscribed.
Yep, you subscribers will still have it, and you'll get the audio episode as well. So until we all meet again, remember, it's nice to be important.
It's more important to be nice.
Good.
And to get your audio working.
Oh, man, I guess I'm just going to end the show in shame.